Welcome to Rambam on the Line. We're up to Perek Shishi, the sixth chapter of Hilchot Tefillah, Laws of Prayer. The most standard Rambam, this will be on Daf Yuchet from the Beis. Halacha Aleph. Altala la'adam lava achar beis ha'knesses b'shah shatzivim espalolim. Person is not supposed to pass by the back of a shul during the time that the congregation is praying. Kena yanosin masri, unless he was carrying a burden, or that there were two doors, two entrance ways to the shul, to the synagogue on both sides, on two different sides. Someone who sees him will say, perhaps he's going to go in to the other side. In other words, if you pass by the shul and don't go in, it looks as if you are being disrespectful. If you're carrying a burden, it's clear that you're in the middle of carrying a burden. That's why you're not going in. Or, if it's possible that you went through another side, people will not suspect you of being disrespectful. Similarly, if there were two synagogues in the city, someone who sees you passing by one will say that he's probably going to the other synagogue, which he's used to going to. If he's wearing tefillin on his head, he's allowed to pass by. Even if none of the previous conditions are in effect, the tefillin proved that he's pursuing mitzvah. He's not someone who nullifies the prayer. He's a pious person by the fact that he's wearing tefillin. If you pray with the congregation, you shouldn't pray longer than necessary. But when he's praying himself, privately he can pray as long as he wants. If he wants to say after his prayers, even the long confessionary prayers of Yom Kippur, he can do so. Similarly, if he wants to add to each of the middle 13 blessings something that relates to the theme of that particular blessing, he may do so. Kepat, how so? Hayalo chola, if he had a sick person in his house, or a sick person who he cared for, mevakeshel avrachman b'yichas cholim, kifitas l'shono, he can pray for the divine compassion and the blessing of the sick according to the fluency of his language. Hayitocho parnasa, if he needed a livelihood, motif tchino b'kosher b'yichas hashanim, he can add supplication and request in the blessing of the year, which talks about earning a livelihood. But there are several chalachs in a similar way in all of the blessings. If he wants to ask all of his needs in the prayer, he may do so. He shouldn't put in any requests either in the first three blessings or in the last three. Halacha dalet. A person's not allowed to taste anything or to do any work from dawn until he prays the morning prayer. He shouldn't go up to his friend's house and greet him before he prays the morning prayer. He shouldn't go out on a journey before praying. But you are allowed to taste something at work before the afternoon prayer or before the additional prayer, musaf, or the afternoon prayer. But he can't have a meal before mincha. He can just taste, have a little bit of food, a bite, but not a meal. Once the time of mincha gedola arrived, that's the half hour after noon, he shouldn't enter a bathhouse, even if it's just to sweat. He's not actually going to bathe. Ach yispalol until he prays. Shem yisalafi avat l'minatfila. Maybe he'll faint because of the heat in the bathhouse and he'll miss the prayer. V'olachol, he shouldn't go in to eat. Afilo achila sarai, even a small meal. Shem yimshach v'achila, maybe he'll continue eating for a long time and miss mincha. V'olachol, he shouldn't go in to judge a case. Afilo b'gmardin, even if it's the end of the case, we just have to issue the final verdict. Perhaps the judgment will be contradicted, and he'll have to start all over again. The imshachit will take a long time. The yivatel min atfilah, and he will not pray. Chelo yeshiv of neasaper lispar. He shouldn't sit in front of a barber to get a haircut. A filu tasper his head yot, even a plain haircut, not a really professional one. He shouldn't do this. Such as fall till he prays. Shemishav azul. Perhaps the shear will break. Chonas leborsi ki samach mincha. Do not enter a tannery close to mincha. Achis Paul before praying, Shemiyu Absid Bimlachto, when he sees the leather being processed there, his work, he may see there's something wrong with it. Yisachar Paul become occupied with it. Yisachar Minatula, and he will refrain from praying, he'll forget to pray, and he'll miss it. If he did start one of these things, he does not have to interrupt, he doesn't have to stop. Elagomer, he finishes it. Achachmas Paul to Mincha, and afterwards he prays the Mincha prayer. When is it considered the beginning of a haircut? When he puts the sort of apron that the barbers put on their customers, when he puts that on his knees. When is the beginning of the bath? When he takes off his undergarment that's close to his skin. When is the beginning of the tannery? When he ties the sort of apron between his shoulders, as the craftsmen do. When is the beginning of eating? In Israel, from the time they wash their hands. For the Babylonians, when they loosen their belts, that was their custom. When is the beginning of the judgment? From when the judges put the talus over their heads and sit down. If they were already sitting, and now a new case comes before them, from the time that the litigants start to give their claims. So once we determine what the beginning is, we know that if you did start it, you can continue and pray afterwards. Even though the evening prayer is non-binding, it's voluntary. A person shouldn't come home from work and say, let me eat a little bit, let me sleep a little bit, and afterwards I'll pray. Maybe he'll be overcome by sleep. He'll be sleeping all night long. He should pray the evening prayer, and afterwards he should eat, drink, or sleep. You're allowed to take a haircut or go into a bathhouse close to the morning prayer, in other words, before the time of the morning prayer, right before it, because this was decreed only next to the afternoon prayer. It's more common. Most people go in there by day. The morning, which is not a usual thing, the rabbis did not issue a decree banning that. Chas, if one was studying Torah and the time of prayer arrived, you should stop and pray. If Torah was his whole occupation, he doesn't do work at all, and he was studying Torah during the time of prayer, and a posik, he does not have to interrupt it. The mitzvah of study of Torah is greater than the mitzvah of prayer. One who's involved in working for the public good is considered as if he would be studying Torah. One who is praying should not interrupt his prayer unless there's danger to life. Even if the king of Israel is asking of his peace, greeting him, he should not answer him. But he may interrupt for a non-Jewish king who may kill him. He's in the middle of his prayer. He sees a non-Jewish king or a strong-arm person who could harm him coming towards him. He should hurry up and finish. And if he's not able, he should interrupt. When we say he should be yikatzer, the Kesef Mishnah explains it means he says only the first line and last line of each blessing, and he leaves out the middle part of the blessing. If he sees snakes and scorpions coming towards him, if if they reached him, and it was the custom in that place, that they were dangerous, they were poisonous, they bite and kill, then he interrupts and runs away. Moral of the Dalai Lama is that their way was not to kill, and a public does not interrupt. Women, slaves, children are obligated to say the Shemoneh Esrei, to pray. Any man who is freed of the Shema because of whatever the reason is, he's doing a mitzvah, he was just married and so on, if he's freed of the Shema, he's also freed of prayer, of Shemoneh Esrei. All of the people accompanying the dead at the funeral, even though the bed doesn't need them, they're not actually carrying the coffin. Nevertheless, since they are involved in the mitzvah of going to the funeral, they are freed of the obligation of saying the Shemoneh Esrei, saying the prayer.